Today we want to think on the subject of God's perfect will. And we're going to look at the scripture from Luke chapter 1. I'm going to use an account that we think of during the Christmas season and make application for ourselves. Let's begin with a song. My stubborn will at last hath yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. But this the prayer my lips are bringing, Lord, let in me thy will be done. I'm tired of sin, footsore and weary, the darksome path hath dreary grown, but now a light has risen to cheer me. I find in thee my star, my sun. Thy precious will, O conquering Savior, doth now embrace and compass me. All discords hushed, my peace a river, my soul a prison bird set free. Shut in with thee, O Lord, forever, my wayward feet no more to roam. What power from thee my soul can sever, the center of God's will, my home. And then the chorus of the song goes like this. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer, till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer, till I am wholly lost in thee. This morning we want to look at the account of Mary and look at her character and see how the will of God was so important to her, and then, like I said, apply it to our own lives. First of all, we want to think of God's will involved a spiritual person. God's will involved a spiritual person. In Luke 1, 26-28, we read, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. A spiritual person is not necessarily a mature believer. A new believer, one who has just recently received Christ as Savior, is still a new babe in Christ, but still can be spiritual. A spiritual person is one who is walking in fellowship with God, walking in the light they have, and is not living in or practicing anything they know to be sin. I believe every indication is that Mary was both spiritual and spiritually mature. Notice in verse 28, the angel said, The Lord is with thee. There was no sin in her life that separated her from fellowship with God. She was walking in close fellowship with the Lord, and God's blessing was upon her. And he was working in her life. We know that Mary was morally pure, for she was a virgin, which was stated in verse 27. Mary knew this to be true, for when Gabriel announced to her that she would give birth to a child, notice her immediate response was, and we see in verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How can this be, seeing I know not a man? How can it be? I am pure. I have not had intimate relations with Joseph or any other man. How could it be? And that there's an important lesson there. We are living in a day when moral purity is going by the wayside. The entertainment industry is bombarding us with immorality, clothing styles, books, movies, internet, magazines, advertisements that have indecent, improper, unnecessary exposure of the human body, and plain talk and references to immorality. Impurity is polluting the minds of many, and the sad truth is that many are becoming so accustomed to it that it doesn't bother them anymore. You cannot be morally polluted and still be spiritual. Even though it is not popular for the believer to be spiritual and experience God's blessing, he or she must be modest and morally pure. Mary was chosen above all the other virgins in Israel to be the mother of Jesus. Notice twice it says, in verse 28 it says, "Thou that art highly favored." And in verse 30 it says, "Thou hast found favor with God." What a tribute. What honor to have it said by God, "You are highly favored." We should desire to have God's approval upon our life more than anything else in all the world. And secondly, we see God's will involved a willing heart. God's will involved a willing heart. We see in verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And then the angel departed from her." At first, there was fear when the angel appeared. Very few people were visited by angels. It was so rare that whenever it happened, the person was filled with fear. Secondly, Mary didn't see how such a thing could take place. It was not normal, but the angel clearly reminded her, and we see in verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." It is very important that we remember this truth. Whatever God wants us to do, regardless how difficult it might seem to us, nothing is impossible with God. After Mary's fears were calmed and her questions were answered, there was total submission. "I am your servant. Do whatever you want in me and through me." And that is what God desires in the life of every believer, whether we are a child or a young person or an adult. We need to say, "Lord, here's my life. I am your servant. I'll be and do whatever you want. I'll totally submit to you and let you do whatever you want in and through me." And then note something else. In verse 45, we read, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." What if when the angel announced that Mary would give birth to the Christ child, what if she had said, "Lord, I won't accept that in my life. I've got my own plans, and this will alter my lifestyle too much. I don't want to be the mother of the promised Messiah." Would Gabriel had said, "Mary, you don't have a choice. God is going to do this whether you like it or not." Remember, we aren't puppets. God doesn't force himself upon any of us. He can chasten us and make us miserable when we're outside of his will, but he doesn't make us do what he wants. He wants submission. He wants a willing heart from each of us. Now, of course, God knew that Mary would submit to his will. But if I understand this verse correctly, God performed this in her life because she believed and submitted to His will. Do we experience all that God has for us, or do we miss out on God's best for us and a lot of blessing because of unbelief? Notice in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom was he, and to whom swear he that they should not enter his rest, but to them that believed not?" God used the Israelites as an example. God had abundant provision and blessing planned for them, but they did not experience it and receive it because of unbelief. And so, let's not miss God's best for us. Let's believe and trust God and follow His will. And then thirdly, we see God's will involved a price tag. God's will involved a price tag. We would think, of course Mary would accept this for her life. She would have had to be a fool to say no to God. This would have been such an honor to have been chosen by God for this. Yes, it was an honor, a privilege, but it bore a real price tag also. The Jewish people in general thought that Jesus was an illegitimate child, or that when Mary went to the altar, so to speak, she was no longer a virgin. And Joseph himself struggled with that until an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him this truth. And notice in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, "But while he," referring to Joseph, "thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, the one that's to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Remember what the Jewish leaders said to Jesus one day during a discussion. And in John chapter 8, verse 41, we read, and the Jewish leaders said, Jesus said, "You do the deeds of your father." And then they, the Jewish leaders, said unto him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." The inference is, we are not illegitimate children like you were. So Mary was misunderstood and falsely accused, and so was Jesus. And it was probably all of Mary's life, and she had to live with this stigma all of her life. Maybe that's why after Jesus was born, they didn't go back to Nazareth right away, but lived in Bethlehem until the time they had to flee to Egypt because of Herod's wrath. And then, when Herod was dead, then they went back to Nazareth. And after their return from Egypt, to say yes to God's will meant Mary had to bear this stigma all her life, and to also have people think wrongly of Joseph, who would become her beloved husband. Are we willing to do exactly what God wants us to do, even if it means being misunderstood by others, being falsely accused, even if it means a totally different lifestyle, and even if it means danger, as it later meant because of Herod, are we willing to be in the center of God's will, even if it's costly, even if the price tag is great? Remember, whether the world understands us or not, God's will is always best, and the rewards are great. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, God's will is good, and it's acceptable, and it's perfect, and nothing else can be compared to God's will in our life. Don't ever be satisfied with less than the best. We will only experience God's best in our life if we live in the center of the will of God. And may that be true of each of us. May each of us receive Jesus as our Savior and then live in the center of the will of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this example that we see in the life of Mary. And Father, I pray that each of us might desire to live in the center of your will, that every day we might seek to do what you want us to do and live how you want us to live. Father, work in each of our hearts, my heart, and each person listening to this. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.